This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Thanks for joining us this weekend. Boy, do we have a show for you. Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis will join us. He's talking about the pandemic and the changes from the CDC. Lybel Sternbach is talking about your money, Joe McKenzie, your career. Kitty Harris, a property manager from the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, is also here. Plus, we have a special presentation from Unity South Twin Cities. All of this and more on New Beginnings. Our show starts right now. Please welcome to our morning show today, the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Freddie. How you doing there?
Unbelievable. You've had a really big week and it's still not over. The CDC, Mayor Jacob Frey, is issuing an updated COVID-19 guideline that puts less emphasis on tough measures to fight the virus. A strategic shift puts the onus on individuals rather than on schools and businesses and other institutions to limit the viral spread. Can we expect a statement coming from the city of Minneapolis that shifts the onus to the citizens rather than city and local government?
Yeah, I think you can. It's been more and more gradual. That's not to let local government off the hook, because we certainly have a role to play still. But, yeah, we're at the point where we're understanding how to handle the present state, people are better able to make their own decisions as to what form of risk they want to tolerate. Because at the end of the day, every morning you wake up, you go out the door, you are taking on some form of risk. That's just the reality. And you have to be willing to take on some risk to just live your life. And, yeah, I think it's time to kind of come back, to open up the city, to get back to activities, of course. And, if you are most comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. If you're immunocompromised, certainly you want to protect yourself. What I would say is be courteous and caring for other people around you, recognizing that their circumstances may be different from your own.
What would you say to folks who are listening and for the part they played in getting the nation to 95% of some form of immunity against COVID-19?
I'd say thank you. It's been a long couple of years. I don't think I ever said the word pandemic back when I, ran for mayor in 2017. It wasn't anything that was even on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it should have been. And I think everyone has adjusted. Everyone has stepped up. Everybody from nurses to first responders, police officers, firefighters, people delivering food. They've operated in full force to keep our economy and our city running through a really tough time. While there have been so many tragic deaths associated with COVID-19, there's also been a lot of extraordinary life. In other words, people stepping up through amazingly tough circumstances to do God's work. And I think that's what we've seen.
All right. Mayor Jacob Frey with us. Thanks so much for being with us today.
No worries. Thanks again, Freddie. We'll talk real soon.
All right. Take care. Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and it happened this week. Wyoming Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney will not get the chance to earn another term. She lost the state's primary to attorney Harriet Hegeman. In declaring defeat Tuesday, Cheney says her real work now begins. Following him signing the Inflation Reduction Act into law, President Biden headed back to Delaware for the back end of his summer vacation. First Lady Jill Biden hung back following a positive COVID test, taking Paxlovid to treat her symptoms. Biden recently returned from South Carolina, where he spent 6 days. A naval engineer and his wife charged with espionage are having their plea deal rejected. Jonathan and Dinah Tebb were sentenced on Tuesday for trying to sell information about nuclear-powered submarines to a foreign government in exchange for large amounts of cryptocurrency. During the hearing, the judge pushed back against the suggested sentencing, questioning Justice Department lawyers about why they were not harsher given the national security risk. And a preliminary report says a co-pilot who left a plane in midair last month had been visibly upset after being told his co-pilot to declare an emergency due to a broken landing gear. 23-year-old Charles Crooks got up from his seat and removed his headset, apologized, and although not wearing a parachute, left the plane through a ramp door at the back. His body was found in the backyard of a home about 20 miles south of the Raleigh-Durham Airport. And Elon Musk says he was just joking about buying English soccer club Manchester United. The world's richest man created waves in the sports world Tuesday when he tweeted, "Also, I'm buying Manchester United. You're welcome." Later on in the week, he clarified the tweet by saying it was referring to what he called a long-running joke on Twitter and added that he's not buying any sports team. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And joining us right now is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. It is Kitty Harris. Kitty, hello and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Doing well, and I'm excited to talk with you about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center only because that is really a hub in our community, for especially for seniors and individuals looking to gather and get great information about the events that can really impact their lives. The fall season is upon us. What, and I know people are going, fall, we're just getting through summer. What's coming up at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center?
I know, as we end these summer months and we transition into fall, it's hard to believe. It feels like summer goes by so fast in Minnesota in general. But we are so excited that we are finally able to offer our legal aid clinic again. So prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, we used to host a free legal aid clinic here at the center in partnership with the Minnesota Legal Aid Department. And so that will be coming back starting in September, and it'll be happening the second Wednesday of every month.
Wow. So talk about legal aid. So when people are coming, I know that there's little or no cost. What about this particular session that you're having at the Cora McCorvey?
Yep. So these sessions are free and open to the community. Again, it's a partnership with Mid-Minnesota Legal Aid. So these are licensed attorneys in the state of Minnesota that volunteer to come over to the center and help the community. What they do is they provide information on how to do wills, living trust, healthcare directives, helping our older adults get their affairs in order, whatever information they have housing resources. And so they're here. People can call us at 612-344-2221 to get more information, to schedule an appointment. They can talk to me directly, kind of let me know what their needs are, and I can help connect them. But we're very excited to have this ongoing service here because, as you know, it's very hard in this day and age to get in contact with an actual human when you're going to different service providers. And so we're happy to bring this back to the building post-pandemic.
So will this be in the great room? I love meeting in that space. Will this be in the great room, or is there another section at the center where these clinics will be taking place?
They will be happening in the great room, and sometimes they will be upstairs because in addition to the individual paperwork that they do, we will also start to have monthly topics that the community will pick, and we will either have small presentations by attorneys in the great room, or we will have information available around those various topics that people have interest in, such as elder abuse or fraud, consumer fraud, different things like that. And so, again, people can just stop by. We're at 1015 4th Avenue North. It's going to be the second Wednesday of every month from 9 to 2 p.m. They can get information. If the attorneys are busy on that day, or if we have a lot of people showing up, they can schedule them for the next month. But again, this is a service that we are bringing back to the community post-pandemic in person.
All right. So give us the registration number or the number for more information in order to be a part of this event.
Yes. For more information, they can give us a call at 612-344-2221 and just say they want to get information about the free legal aid clinic.
And that's taking place at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And that address again?
1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis, 55405.
All right. She's Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, really important hub in our community. And this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. This is New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. And with me is the career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He's the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. And, Joe, how can we reach you and learn more about Ripple Connects?
Well, they can simply visit my website, and that is rippleconnects.com, or call me directly at 763-438-1621. I'd be glad to take the call, tell you a little bit more about some of the offerings and services that our company provides.
All right. Well, this week we want to talk about focus, and we're turning the tables. You got some questions for me.
I do, and this is, you know, continuation of our series on your book, Words to the Wise, and I've taken the time to read it several times a week to affirm what I'm doing, to support a lot of the efforts that I do in my own career. And one page that struck me was with the title Focus, Live Your Life with Positive Expectancy. Freddie, at times during the week, I feel like I wake up in the morning striving for that, and then I get derailed, or I go home and I ruminate on it, and it wasn't a positive day. Have you struggled to keep maintaining that positive outlook on a given day or a given week or a given month?
I think that happens to everybody, even the Zig Ziglars of the world or the Les Browns of the world go through some difficult times, if not every day, maybe two or three times a week. Some days it seems like it's just every two or three minutes, Joe McKenzie. But I think it's interesting that you mentioned the book, because Words of the Wise was written with that in mind, to give you something that you can turn to help when you said, okay, I heard Freddie say, live my life with positive expectancy. That's the word to the wise that you selected for today. But in this compendium of positive affirmations, it's something that you can turn to. It's a tool. As you often talk about your book of your bench of advocates, this is your book of advocates that gives you affirmative statements that you can use, you can infuse into your mind that will help you to give you more buoyancy when it looks like you're sinking underwater. And this is really important to have that. I mean, it seems as if it's more natural to go through a woe is me mentality. Things are not working out well. Nobody likes me. My job is not fulfilling. My family life is a shattered mess. We can find a lot of terrible things to say about ourselves. But if we start with living your life with positive expectancy and take that as a daily affirmation, it won't happen overnight. But incrementally, Joe McKenzie, things start to change. So when you come home from that tough day, or you find yourself in the middle of a difficult situation, you could just tell yourself, right now I'm living my life with positive expectancy. The rest of that comes from a speech that I gave, said, I don't know what's ahead for me now, but I approach it with expectation of good. I don't know what's ahead for me now, okay, but I approach it with expectation of good.
And it's because you've trained yourself to expect good outcomes. You may not know exactly what those outcomes are, but does that allow you to be open to those possibilities, to be highly aware of those because you're in that positive mindset versus being in an oh, woe's me type of mindset?
It does, because, you know, it's interesting. Affirmations, it's really difficult for me to tell you what it's like not to live with statements of positivity, like living your life with positive expectations. because since 1985, that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been trying to do. And perhaps this may have even started sooner than that. But I can remember I was at a difficult time in my career, and I was introduced to just a wonderful writer, and I could not believe that this person was writing all these positive things about his life and how we could do the same thing too, that we can turn our lives around. But it's really interesting. There was one thing that I remember, and it's on the front page of my website. It says, you can win. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I have focus, faith, and enthusiasm. And you may not have focus, faith, and enthusiasm right now as I share that statement with you, but it's just like living your life with positive expectancy. You may not be expecting the best right now, but it's like what Ben Franklin said. If you fill your mind with information, your mind will fill your pocketbook with coins. And that's what living your life with positive expectancy can do. That's what living with an affirmative life that are filled with affirmations can do for you. It's not a magic potion, but it is. I think the person who lives their lives with positive statements of being tend to live a better life than those who have that woe is me mentality, Joe McKenzie.
Okay. I pick up on, so if you make this a regular part of your day, how you approach the day, and you keep reinforcing it day in and day out, week in and week out, month and month and so forth, you eventually start to, your brain says, okay, because I approached this day in a positive mindset, this opportunity presented itself, or I see it starting to come together. So it's kind of self-fulfilling, where that mindset allowed you to create that opportunity, that positive outcome, and I'm going to do it tomorrow, because I know if I do the same, there's a better chance than not that I might see something new, or that idea I had previously continues to move forward. That's what I hear you saying.
That's right, because you start to see ways that you can relate the seemingly unrelated. You can see pathways forward that have always been there, but because you changed your focus, you start to see things that you never would have seen before. So it helps you to tap into your own calling, and it helps you to trust yourself. Did you know there are a lot of folks who don't trust themselves? They fear going to sleep. They fear waking up because they don't know what's ahead for them. But if we can just chart our lives, and I'd give our audience just this assignment. I used to say a long time ago, think about the three things that you're going to do tomorrow that are positive in nature, and do those things. Well, Joe McKenzie, I thought that turned out to be pretty challenging. So I've changed my mindset in that, Joe. And now I just simply suggest people to do this. Do the one thing, do one thing that could possibly move you forward tomorrow. Write it down today and then do it tomorrow. You can do everything else you want. If you want to do the woe is me dance and do the pity party, poor little old me, I call it picking plums, poor little old me, then you can do that. But give yourself at least one thing that you're going to do tomorrow that can move you into the direction of your dreams.
And so it gives that person that opportunity to try that one thing. And if they see it work, then you hope that starts to balance out some of the, oh, woe is me, the negative that's out there. Because you're starting to see that one thing that's moving forward. You know, me and you have talked about in careers, be looking forward to something. So when you start seeing, hey, I made progress on this goal, that I'm going to be over here, or I'm going to get this account, or I'm going to complete this project, All of a sudden it starts balancing out, where there's less time focusing on the what was me mindset, and more strategic about that one thing that I move forward today now is turned into reinforcement the next day. And that's what I hear you saying. And when you're helping someone, focus on one thing that you can move forward, and then just let that organically set in motion.
Right. It's the goal. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It's one thing that you're going to do tomorrow. And then you accomplish it and you write that down. And then you do the same thing tomorrow. Maybe It's goal setting. There are some people who don't set goals. There are people who do more planning for their vacation than they do for their lives. So if you can do the one thing tomorrow and accomplish that, you're better off than not having done anything at all. It's just that basic. And then we can start to build from there. There are people who are afraid of tomorrow, but Joe McKenzie, I would say that living your life with positive expectancy encompasses that, because it helps you to, it gives more direction to your dreams, it gives more directions to your goals, and it gives more direction to your life. It helps you to have that focus, that faith, and that enthusiasm. And
I live in a busy world too. Sometimes, even if I have accomplished something, you've given me something here to write it down to remember what you accomplished, because so often you move into the next day and what if you forgot to focus on that one thing and all of a sudden that negative mindset or woe is me creeps back in, and you may have had some of the greatest accomplishments in an organization or personally you've had in years, but see how if you're not focused on that and you don't write it down, you buy back into that negativity, although you're accomplishing things. So you're giving someone a method to kind of keep that negativity at bay, because, hey, I accomplished this because I focused on one thing. And so therefore I should focus on one more thing this week or that day. I think that happens more than we think, that negativity creeps in even though we're accomplishing.
Exactly. It gives us more control over our lives. And unfortunately, Joe McKenzie, we've got to leave it right there. We can talk about one more thing next week. But you do some fine work at Ripple Connects, and thanks for talking about Words of the Wise today, Joe McKenzie.
My pleasure, Freddie Bell. Yes, we turn candidates into contenders at Ripple Connects.
And this is New Beginnings. Thanks so much for being with us this week. And did you realize that today is National Nonprofit Day? It recognizes the goals and positive impacts nonprofits have on communities and the world. Somewhere, a volunteer reads to school children. At the same time, a patient receives steady medication. A lawyer provides legal services for low-income individuals. A lost soul's life is remembered with dignity thanks to a nonprofit funeral home. Elsewhere, a first-time homebuyer moves into his own home. And National Nonprofit Day reminds us that each of these scenes is possible thanks to the nonprofit sector. It's the result of work performed by capable people and capable organizations. Through nonprofits, awareness, research, and aid reach the people who need it most. For those reasons and more, National Nonprofit Day salutes those who set out to make a difference. And you're making a difference because you're listening to New Beginnings. And here today is Words to the Wise. You were born to succeed. Today's Words to the Wise, you were born to succeed. You can find this and more in my book entitled Words to the Wise. We'll be right back.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Libel, welcome back to New Beginnings. How are you this week?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. I got a little tickle in my throat, so I'll try not to cough on you. Tell us where we can find more information about Libel and the work that you do for as in terms of resources.
You can find that on our website, yieldsforyou.com, or Label on Fire, either one, yieldsforyou.com. And on that website, you're going to find all the information about us, the resources, our mission, our classes, our workshops, everything you need in order to help guide you on the mission for retirement.
All right. So as you mentioned, retirement makes me think about recession. Let's talk about recession a little bit. That's been in the news quite a bit in the last several days. How do you define recession?
So there's the technical term that the market kind of uses, which is two consecutive quarters of, you know, negative growth. So where the economy has contracted for two quarters consecutively. And that's what Wall Street uses. Now, the technical definition that the White House uses, or that, you know, the government uses, is defined by the Economic Council, the White House Economic Council. And they are, you know, notorious for waiting, you know, a very long time to define what that is, because they want to make sure they get it right. But really, when you think about it, a recession is when the economy contracts for a extended period of time. And so I don't really care about what the technical definition of a recession is. What I care about are the behaviors and whether those behaviors are going to be sustained or are they temporary. Because, you know, when COVID first started and we first had the pandemic, we had all of these things happen, right? And we went into a temporary recession, and we knew that restaurants, right, they had to let go of a lot of workers and hospitality, but there was a very temporary nature to it. Now we have this recovery and we have, you know, the economy is kind of finding itself. The question is, are we finding a new balance, or is this contraction that we have happening right now, is this just the beginning of a bigger wave? That's the question that we need to be asking ourselves to decide, is this just a reset, or is this a long-term recession?
We're talking with Libel Sternbach about the recession. So I just asked you to define a recession. So based on that definition, where are we right now? Are we in a recession, or are we on the cusp of one?
So based on the Wall Street definition of two consecutive quarters of gross domestic product, GDP, negative numbers, then we are technically in a recession, according to the Wall Street definition. The Economic Council hasn't ruled on it. Don't expect them to come out with numbers or to come out saying whether we're in a recession or not for at least another year or two, because they basically will wait until the dust has settled. Whether we're actually technically in a recession or not, only time will tell, right? Because we really don't know. There's too many numbers in flux. There's too many moving pieces to know whether the economy is actually growing or shrinking. Right. So when we're looking at data points, and the only reason why Wall Street cares to give a technical label and to say, you know, the economy is growing or the economy is shrinking, is because they want to be able to bet on the future. They want to know which companies to invest in and which to take their money out of. And when you're thinking as an investor, right, you want to be able to predict where the economy is going. And I think that it's a little short-sighted to be able to say, you know, the small little data points that we have point to an overall trend in the economy, because the economy is doing a lot of things that it's never done before, right? We can't point and say, well, this is just like after World War II. This is just like after the Vietnam War, right? This is just like when OPEC shut down oil, right? This is not like anything that's ever happened in our economy ever, period. There's so many different things that are happening, and we have so many contradictory things happening. So to be able to say that our economy itself is shrinking and that it's going to be sustained, I think is a little bit irresponsible, right? I think what you can say is that it's changing. And I'm a very big advocate, and I've been saying this a lot on our show, right, is that the economy is changing And the jobs and the type of work and where that work is being done is changing. And so the companies that the winners and losers of yesterday are not going to be the winners and losers of tomorrow. But I think overall, our economy, the United States economy, the world economy is going to continue to grow over the long haul.
Wow. So do you think or how much of a role do you think the pandemic has played into this, Leibel?
So I think that the pandemic was a huge inciting incident. I think it lit a tinderbox that was waiting to go off. I don't know how much you recall, but right before the pandemic, right, we had this the elections happening around the world, and it was. You had the set of elections that were happening were very much, nation centric. It was very much, get us out of this global economy, right? Bring back jobs to our country. Make our country, our nation first, which is a kind of a 180 from what the world has been doing for the last 35 years. I mean, really, it's, 1980 or so was when, globalization really took off and the world was like, no, we're better off being a global economy. Everything should be connected. And now people have been saying for the last, 5-6 years, no, we want to be separate nations. We want to have our own borders. We want to, we want to incentivize our internal economies. And then the pandemic came. And all trade routes basically came to a halt. Essential goods, started to become scarce. Things like masks and medical equipment, right, became something that you couldn't find. And nobody thought that that would be something that was possible, that a developed nation wouldn't be able to find paper surgical masks, right? And that really shined a light on the how fragile our interconnected global marketplace really is, and how much say someone in China or someone in the Middle East or someone in Eastern Europe could have an influence on our day-to-day life. And that's something that was a wake-up call to a lot of governments and a lot of people. And they basically, the result was we cannot have that moving forward. And so we have a lot of essential manufacturing coming back home. And it's either coming back home because the governments are incentivizing it, or it's coming back home because people want it back home and they're willing to pay more for it.
So does that coincide directly with the lower unemployment rate?
So I think that part of that has to do with the lower unemployment rate. I think that's part of it. I think you're seeing this tug of war happening between the fact that we have, manufacturing being set up and you have these jobs being created that didn't exist before, and you have jobs being destroyed that did exist before that people were, relying on. And in a lot of cases, it's low wage jobs that are getting destroyed and it's high income jobs that are getting created, which basically means that the lower class, right, the people who don't have an education, who don't have the ability to move up on the socioeconomic ladder, they're the ones getting crushed in this, move for onshoring and for bringing things into our economy. I think that's part of what's happening. I think you also have a change in taste, a change in buying behaviors, and a lot of people, and this is like weird, the weirdness of, are we actually in a recession or are we just looking at the wrong numbers? Where you have, well, did Walmart, Walmart saying that people are not buying as much as they used to. The question is, well, Walmart, did you stock the things that people wanted to buy? Right, because there's very clearly an indication that Walmart was stocking things that people didn't want to buy, but they were out of the things that people wanted to buy.
you got to fix that first, right?
Well, you got to fix that, but it's because we're in this economy that nobody knows, nobody understands. We moved into the pandemic, and Peloton, right? Peloton, the bike with the huge iPad on it, right. Took off. And sold, right? And it went through the stratosphere. People were buying it left and right. Their stock went through the roof. Everyone thought it was the next best thing, right? Zoom became the next best thing. Everyone had to have it. And now, and they, you know, decided like, oh, this is going to keep happening, that for whatever reason, no one's ever going to go back to the gym, that people are going to love working out in their house with a $5,000 machine. And when the pandemic, you know, kind of subsided, people stopped buying their machines and they are stuck building this manufacturing plant that they can't afford.
Oh my gosh.
And they've had to, you know, sell it off and pare it back. And they weren't thinking, you know, ahead. But there's a lot of bets that were made that way where people were like, well, the pandemic is just going to continue. And it's like, no, the pandemic created a lot of like, you know, little bubbles, really big bubbles, but they were bubbles that were just because of, you know, things that changed because our lives got turned upside down. And some of it's going to stay and some of it is never, you know, was never supposed to have happened and is going to go back.
So, in other words, the bubbles are breaking that were created as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah. And nobody knows what the new normal is going to be. Right. Are we going to all return to the office or are we going to all work from home or is it going to be a hybrid? Right. I mean, listen, right, my company, right, we were 60% remote before the pandemic. We just hired a new person, not in the office, right? We're not shutting down our office, but we're shrinking our office. We're not planning on being in the office as much because it's not essential to our operations. Whereas you have other people who are saying, well, we need to bring people back because creativity is not happening, because collaboration is not happening, because spontaneity is not happening, right? And it's, you know, there's going to be a give and take because people like the freedom. People like the fact that, you know, working from home means that you can have more of a work-life balance and you could do more of the things that you like. And you don't, I mean, let's face it, when you're in the office, you're not working, you know, 8-9 hours a day. You're really working 3.5 hours a day and doing, you know, God knows what the other period of time. And it just called work because you're in a building.
Exactly. We only have about 60 seconds left, and it's really difficult to pinpoint what we can do to get out of this recession. But what is one thing that we can think about as we try to navigate through to get through a recession? What should we be thinking about, Leibel?
So as investors, we need to separate our understanding that the economy is not the market. We need to separate those two concerns and understand that what happens to the economy does not equate to what happens in the market. The market is trying to predict the future, and the economy is what's happening right now. And if you can predict what's going to happen in the future, you'll win, but that doesn't mean that the two are necessarily connected. And so in retirement, we need to separate those two, and we need to make sure that we're focused on managing our money in terms of how people are betting on the future, not on how it's actually going to turn out.
Thank you, Leibel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. His website is simply LeibelOnFire.com. That's LeibelOnFire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
On the lighter side, your emotional support chihuahua wasn't quite doing the job. Need support when you're gardening? If you live in North Little Rock, Arkansas, try getting a goat, an emotional support goat. Resident Willie Baker shared on Nextdoor that some new neighbors have goats, which is against the rules in that area. When cops told the newbies they had to get rid of the goats, they offered up a doctor's note saying they were emotional support animals. Willie's post says he's open for legal suggestions. You should get some some sleep. And not just for your mental well-being. If you're regularly getting less than 7 hours of sleep a night, you're almost three times more likely to get a cold than those sleeping 8 hours or more. Researchers uncovered this by having 153 healthy volunteers record their sleep every day over a two-week baseline period, then taking them into a lab and giving them nose drops containing rhinovirus. The ones reporting higher sleep duration during the baseline period were less likely to develop a cold than those with short sleep durations. And heat waves could affect your Christmas tree. Live Christmas trees are more popular than ever, but heat waves and droughts could force some people to go back to using artificial trees. It takes years to grow a tree before it's harvested, and while more mature trees could be plentiful this holiday season, newer trees with years to go are suffering in some parts of the country. And there's a report out that says to reduce the risk of dementia, joining a social club is good. Walking or bicycling, though, is better. And reading or playing games or musical instruments is best. These are among the findings of a meta-analysis which reviewed previous studies on physical, cognitive, and social leisure activities and dementia published by the American Academy of Neurology. Previous research has shown that leisure activities are linked to health benefits such as lower cancer risk, a reduction of atrial fibrillation, and a person's perception of their own well-being. The new analysis found that leisure activities like making crafts, playing sports, or volunteering were linked to a reduced risk of dementia. It's wacky, but it's true. $4 million is not much these days. Don't you hate it when you only win $4 million in a lottery? Gosh, a North Carolina lottery player who won the Lucky for Life top prize of $1,000 a day for life was doubtful that the money would go far in today's economy. Let me say that again. The winner of $1,000 a day for life lottery doesn't think it's going to be enough. The winner, Jimmy Schindler of Gastonia, doesn't have any lavish vacations or home projects planned for the near future, even after winning the prize, but he'll receive a lump sum of $4 million. Schindler, who's 60, told North Carolina lottery officials that he's just going to save the money, because $4 million isn't much these days, my friends. That's what he says. And can you guess this? According to the Money Magazine poll, about 25% of people who do this with their money never see it again. The answer is they lend it to family and friends. And finally, drinking beer may lead to mental clarity. That according to a study out of Austria. A little beer may help trigger your inner genius. Researchers found that mild alcohol intoxication can help clear mental blocks and spark creative thought. Test volunteers reportedly performed better on a word problem test after drinking a pint of beer than they did when consuming alcohol-free products. However, researchers say concentration and memory issues did surface for the drinkers in other skill tests. I'm Freddie Bell on the lighter side on New Beginnings.
Unity South Twin Cities is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, with two services each Sunday at 9 and at 10:30 a.m. Senior Minister James Stacy is sharing a lesson today entitled Night and Day. We join in progress.
And just as I've often said and even demonstrated, if I breathe out into the world's experiences, it doesn't last very long before my body says, if you want to be conscious, you better draw in. You better breathe in. And Charles would caution this. And this was the whole teaching of unity. Not that we have prayer or meditation because it's necessarily the moral thing to do, or the thing to do if we want to be right with God. Turning within through some spiritual practice, whether you call it prayer or meditation or some form of even body movement, it's a turning within to essential realities, recognizing that you're a child of God, recognizing that the Christ is within you. It's also a time of restoration. Healing is done in the silence. Many practitioners will tell us that healing is done in our sleep. When the body is at rest, it can be restored. It can be healed. Equilibrium and balance can be brought back to it after a daytime of perhaps much activity, perhaps some strain, perhaps some stress or challenge or obstacles in our life. Or maybe everything went smoothly. But we still need, just like we need sleep, a time of turning within. Now, turning that slightly to our spiritual life, a friend and someone I appreciated very much, Joan Brown Campbell, who for about 12 years was the leader of the Department of Religion and all forms of religious activity at Chautauqua. And when she was interviewed for a CBS Sunday morning program, they asked her, what did she see as the most important need for our world now? Of course, this was probably 20 years ago, but I think it still stands. And Joan Brown Campbell replied, we need a balance. I believe we need less believers and more beholders. Do you catch the difference? Less believers in abstract ideas, theologies of the church, even our unity principles. And we need more people beholding the activity of God in our very midst. What the traditional church calls the idea of incarnation. That the divine presence didn't create us from a great distance and then stand off and watch us. That divine presence became us, gave of its substance and power that we might live and have a presence in this world. And so both Joan Brown Campbell and Ken Wilber and others have hinted at this idea that often our religion points us upward to the infinite and eternal, where certainly eternal spiritual principles exist. And Charles Fillmore said it was our life purpose to bring those ideas of strength, wisdom, love, zeal, will, to bring it down through our life into expression. But I don't know about you, but I've had times where I've experienced deep loss, grief, pain, struggle, a so-called dark night of the soul. But yet, don't we hold the premise that wherever we are, God is. And I found in my 40 years in the unity movement, taking on many different roles and ultimately unity minister, that sometimes we can be tempted, and Emily Cady cautioned us right back at the beginning, to strain and strive and reach for the infinite truth and forget to find it within ourselves, within others, right here among us. So here to me is perhaps the most grand of these rhythms, or alternating consciousness, to know God as the infinite and eternal one, and to know God as the spirit of life, love, and wisdom within me, within you. It's not an either-or proposition, my friends. The whole point I'm trying to convey in this lesson is to understand that we need the rhythm of life. We need this rhythm that beholds God as transcendent, but also God is indwelling life within us. And to know that, yes, in our grandest visions, we may behold the spiritual principles we claim, but there are times I need comfort, healing, a presence to help me get through the difficulties of life, to help me get through the loss of family or friends. But God must be there. God must be with us in the good times and in the hard times. You may remember our wonderful friend, Thomasina Petrus, sang within the last year a beautiful gospel song that God is with us in the good times and the bad times, on the mountaintop and in the valley. If we don't believe that, then we believe in a limited God.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Well, that's our show this week. Special thanks to Lionel Sternbach for stopping by. Joe McKenzie, couldn't do it without you. And Mayor Jacob Fry, a special guest this weekend on New Beginnings, plus Kitty Harris and our friends from Unity South Twin Cities. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being a part of our weekend get-together. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell saying that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Thanks for joining us.